Come on in. I'd like you to meet a couple of friends, Tex and Jinx. Bristol-Myers, makers of Ipana toothpaste for your smile of beauty, present Tex McCrary, editor and commentator, and his wife, the All-American Girl, movie star, tennis star, cover girl, girl of both the Americas, Jinx Falkenberg.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Danny Seymour, for the build-up. But tonight, you know, I think tonight we'd better drop that line about my tennis, because one of our guests tonight knows much too much about my game. But, Tex, how about your handling the fanfare?
Okay, and I'll keep quiet about your game, too, Jinx. We've got a good lineup in the parade tonight. Up front again is Johnny Guarneri, his piano and his band, and next, a young lady who's learned that it pays to laugh at everything except a man. She's been a star in three great Broadway musicals, and in each one, she's played the part of a girl who never...
Absolutely never.
Never gets her man, and her name is Nancy Walker.
Whisper her name.
That was Nancy Walker, but she jumped the gun.
And talking about guns, another guest tonight is a beautiful Russian girl, a cross, I think, between Lily Pons and Lana Turner.
She looks wonderful, and she sings.
And during the war, she used to be, among other things, a sniper, killing Germans. And her name, Kira Petrovskaya.
She shoots men? Send her home.
And that was Nancy Walker again, too soon again.
And our other guest tonight, spotlighted right now more than any other young man in America, the cover man. On Newsweek magazine 2 weeks ago, on the cover of Time magazine this week, the champ with the greatest racket in the world.
No puns tonight, Jinx.
Okay, we'll cut it short. We'll just say the king of the tennis world, Jack Kramer.
That's the lineup. A setup for three success stories, but that's not the angle tonight. No success stories. Our theme tonight is hard luck. Woe, woe, nothing but woe and wailing. First, the sad saga of stout-hearted, high-purposed Nancy Walker, whose dream in life was to see her name in lights as a great actress, a great singer. And Broadway will not soon forget her first audition. Producer George Abbott was listening to the young and talented Americans who came to try out for his great show, Best Foot Forward. He sat out there in the empty theater, and then Nancy walked out on the stage. There was a hush in the theater. Nancy leaned easily against the rehearsal piano, looked out over the empty seats, and sang a song. Well, an audience would have sobbed aloud at the song.
Nancy, what was the song that you sang that day?
But Jinx, I believe that melody will be remembered as long as humans can sing a haunting, wistful ballad called Bounce Me, Brother, with a Solid Four.
And solid is the word for Nancy. Okay, Nancy Walker, now you're on.
Hello, friends. With all that stuff about Kramer, the cover boy, you lower my morale. Kramer on the cover of Newsweek first, and then you two, and now Kramer on the cover of Time. The way you got things rigged, you're nothing if you can't get your face on a cover.
Well, Nancy, you must understand that you have to suffer before these things come to you. Now, have you suffered, Nancy?
Suffer? Suffer? Listen, my dear friends, nobody ever suffered like I did at that audition you have just dug out of my memoirs. Unpublished. I sing a tender love song like Bounce Me, Brother, a wistful little thing. And what happens? People laugh. In about 10 minutes, the laughter dies, and Mr. Rogers says to me, Miss Walker, would you please let us see how you would move across the stage? I oblige, like this. And what happens? They laugh. No matter what I do, people laugh. Look at Jack Kramer over there. He's laughing. Oh, I love that man. And what is his reaction? He laughs.
You know, Nancy, I believe I know what's wrong, why you have so much trouble landing a man.
Well, tell me, Doctor. Come closer, do.
No, I'm serious, Nancy. The trouble is, you look too young, a bobby soxer who might swoon for Sinatra, but you simply aren't the type to handle a part that would require understanding of a deep, dramatic feeling of love. Frankly, you're too young, Nancy.
Young? Johnny, a little music, please. This man must be straightened out. What do you think I am? Just a baby. What do you think I am? Just a child. What do you think I go around with men for?
do you think I've got that little yen for? Oh, what do you think of me as your sister? Couldn't you just for once be a man? I'm getting older, I'm starting to smolder. All my heart needs is a show. What do you think I am? I'm in love. What do you think I am? Just a baby. Now, what do you think I am? Just a brat. What do you think that twinkles in my eye for? And who do you think I sigh that little sigh for? Oh, why do you think of me as just your sister? Say, couldn't you just for once be a man? Now I'm getting older, I'm starting to smolder. All my heart needs is a shove. What do you think I am? I'm in love.
Okay, Nancy, you win. You are grown up, and you sang that song very well, but I'm afraid you'll never get Jack Kramer or any other man with that kind of a song.
Oh, Tex is right, Nancy. If you're going to run after a man, you've got to be more subtle.
Well, running after a man isn't my problem. The problem starts when I catch up with him.
Oh, that's when you're to act subtle, Nancy. Be shy and reserved and smile prettily at everything he says.
Well, sure, Nancy. You've got a pretty smile. Make the most of it.
Do you mind repeating that, Danny?
I said you've got a pretty smile.
And Nancy, don't...
Tex, go away. The man said I had a pretty smile. This is a moment I want to share with me. Danny, my boy, since my teeth don't light up and spell out Ipana when I smile, I consider your words a compliment. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's true, too, that a lovely smile can help you in so many ways.
True also that Ipana can help you in so many ways, too. Why, Ipana can help your teeth as well as your smile to a brightness and loveliness that you never thought possible.
And so easily, too. Just brush your teeth regularly with Ipana toothpaste. And then with a fingertip, gently massage the gums along the line where they meet the teeth. Now, this gum line is important because we all need firm, healthy gums as well as bright teeth to keep our smiles lovely. So get Ipana. It's available again from coast to coast in all sizes. Try Ipana for your smile of beauty.
And now, Nancy Walker, it's time to meet your dream man. Man of the hour.
King of the tennis court.
U.S. singles champion.
Wimbledon winner.
Number one Davis Cupper.
Greatest living tennis player.
Jack Kramer.
Hello, Jim. Hi, Tex.
Mr. Kramer, my name is Nancy Walker. I'm a junior champion, so you haven't heard of me yet. But I'd be glad to whip up a little mixed doubles. We could sort of, well, you know, well, I could sort of, well, warm you up for the finals.
Well, thanks, Nancy. I'd like to play with you, but you see, I don't play tennis with girls. I don't learn anything, so I can't waste the time anymore.
Oh. Oh, you don't learn anything from girls. Oh, I see.
Seriously, Jack, what is the story about the war between the sexes when boy meets girl on the tennis court? Could the number one woman tennis player ever beat, say, the 10th-ranking man player?
He'd murder her. Maybe she'd get a couple of games if he was polite, but he'd murder her in a match.
And I'm afraid he's right, Tex, because I remember when Jack was just starting as a boy wonder at the Los Angeles Tennis Club. Alice Marble was the top tennis queen, and Jack was then only 15. And he beat Alice Marble then without too much trouble.
Well, now, Mr. Kramer, what you say interests me very strangely. Exactly what is it that makes females so feeble at tennis? I would like to know.
Well, Nancy, it's very simple. Girls can't get around fast enough. They lack power and speed, and they get tired so quickly.
Well, I guess you have that summed up.
Advantage, Kramer. He leads 30 love.
Well, the cards seem to be stacked against us, but at least girls are better natured, so we don't take the game quite as seriously.
That's true. The girls do have better temperaments, but...
No, but the score is deuce.
Well, I was just going to admit that we do take the game pretty seriously. We have to. We train for a match as carefully as Joe Louis trains for a title fight. I practice every day. I study the guys I'm going to have to play. I know where they're weak, and I figure out how to take advantage of it. A top player can win at least one game out of every set before he goes on the court, just by studying the psychology of the man he's got to play.
Well, Jack, I've heard about that in football, but how does it work in tennis?
Well, take a tip I learned from my old coach, Cliff Roach, many years ago. If you're going to meet a man who's going to fight to win that first set, and it turns out to be a long, even set, then you know it's human nature to let down a little at the start of the second set. Okay, that's the time to bear down. Get the jump on him. In the first two games, break his service early.
Boy, maybe if I studied psychology, I wouldn't let so many men get away. Now, let's see. When they let down, you bear down.
Well, Nancy, you'll learn that strategy and psychology are very important in tennis. For instance, on a passing shot, don't drive one down the alley if you're against the sidelines because it gives the other fellow too many angles for a cross-court return.
Passing shots, drive one down the alley, cross-court returns. Listen, all I ask from exercise is to lose weight. I don't want to wind up with a Ph.D.
Well, Nancy, you can do that too in tennis. You can lose weight. How about it, Jack?
That's right, Jinx. In an average match, I'll drop around 5 pounds. And in one five-set playoff one afternoon, I lost 12 pounds.
Well, now it is obvious, Mr. Kramer. You have suffered. I think you've earned your way onto the cover of Time.
Nancy, you aren't kidding. Jack Kramer has suffered. He's had so much hard luck in his career that I think his name should be Jinx instead of Jack.
Well, he really has had tough luck. When he was all legs and 16 years old, he was already knocking off players like Vines and Stofan and Perry whenever they let down even a little. And he held the national boys' title, and in 1942, when he was 21, he dreamed of whipping all the men for the big crown.
And that's when hard luck really unloaded on Jack Kramer, because the day before an important match, he was laid low with appendicitis.
And then the next year, 1943, in the middle of the nationals, he doubled up from eating clams, and he got clam poisoning. I think he must have had a malted milk with those clams, too.
Probably did.
He just finished two right here.
And then, like a lot of guys, he wound up in uniform out in the Pacific. 5 landings in the Pacific, but no tennis in 13 months, except for a few pickup matches on coral beaches and bomber strips.
And then when he got out of uniform, he lost his touch and lost his confidence. But he did win the title last year. And next week, even though my brother Bob will probably meet him in the quarterfinals, Jack Kramer, I'm afraid, is the best bet to take the title again.
Jinx, don't put the Indian sign on me. But listen, you were talking about what happens to tennis players in the Army and Navy. You know, that's the answer to that question about what happened to the British players. They were on top of the game with the French for so many long years.
Yeah, Jack, what did happen to the British players?
Well, the answer is that while Britain was at war for so long, the kids who might have been learning how to handle a racket were flying Spitfires or learning to sleep 4 in a foxhole instead. And Britain still is at war, at least at the dinner table, where the rations are even slimmer today than during wartime. Over at Wimbledon, we saw how those things really are in Britain today. It shows up in tennis in a way you can see and understand.
Well, Jack, how do you explain the way that American players seem to have sort of monopolized tennis these days?
Our country is on top in tennis because we're on top in everything else. But that's something to be thankful for, not to brag about.
You're so right there, Jack.
But there's another thing. I think American sports fans have learned how to be winners. Americans still cheer for the underdog. It was a funny feeling in the Davis Cup matches against Australia to hear the Americans in the stands rooting for the Australians. We understood, so we didn't mind.
I suppose, Jack, there's only one big country that doesn't go in for tennis very much.
Yes, Russia. I don't remember ever seeing a Russian in an international match.
That's right, Jack. There are no Russians in the Davis Cup matches. But maybe our next guest can tell us something about the Russians. Tex, will you handle the fanfare?
Okay. Okay, in this corner, our next guest is one of the Russian girls who married Americans during the war, and then somehow she got permission to leave the Soviet and come to America as a war bride. Only five Russian war brides managed to wangle that precious passport out of Russia from Mr. Molotov. She's going to be an American citizen next year. She's married now to the director of All American Red Cross in Russia during the war. And now she lives on a farm in Pennsylvania. But she's working on a dream that she's had since she was 10 years old. Back in the days when she saved 10 rubles, then worth $1, she went to a railroad station and tried to buy a ticket to the USA. She wanted to be an actress in America. But the cops caught her, and she was publicly spanked and sent home. But now she's grown up. She's blonde and beautiful. She has 10 years of stardom in Russian theaters behind her as an actress and singer. And she's got her eye on Broadway.
And what she gets her eye on, she usually gets. Because during the war, she was a sniper, a sharp shooter.
And now here she is for her American debut, Kira Petrovskaya. What's that? I beg your pardon?
How are you, Anita?
Oh, how are you? Right.
Well, Kira, this is your first appearance, isn't it?
Yes, it is my first time on an American stage, and I'm very nervous, but very happy.
Well, Kira, we hope the song you sing tonight will help you land on the right stages here in New York.
Listen, comrade, before we get on to the future, I'm kind of more interested in your past. Now, let me get this straight. Am I to understand that you went around shooting men?
Well, during the war, it was the thing we needed to shoot and kill the Germans who were besieged Leningrad. I was a sharpshooter with medals in my school, so, of course, I trained to be a sniper. When an experienced sniper took me out to train me for 3 weeks, I was all right with my lessons. My teacher had killed 104 Germans. And he said I would kill many also.
And you liked the idea of being a sniper at first, Kira?
Well, you see, as an actress, I helped to propagandize the Kill the German campaign. So it was necessary that I learn to do it myself.
And then you did go out on a job?
Of course, when I finished my training. I was in an old racket house with an experienced sniper by my side. I found a German about 500 yards from us, and I took very careful aim. Well, then I killed him.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Well, and then I got very sick.
Oh.
My companion was very angry with me. He called me Baba, which means old woman. Well, I suppose I wasn't a very good sniper.
Gosh, we do get on some strange subjects. But Kira, you know, we really meant to talk to you about singing and being an actress in Russia. So let's talk about that. Tell us, when did you get your start and when did you know that you wanted to be on the stage?
Oh, a long time ago. I read American movie magazines and began to use lipstick when I was very young. You know, in Russia, girls don't use lipstick until they are 19 or 20. But I did when I was 16. And people began to mistake me for an actress. It was very pleasant to be mistaken for an actress.
Yes, Kira, but you weren't mistaken for an actress very long. I've been checking up on you. You played Shakespeare in Russia, all over Russia in repertory. You were the American secretary in the famous Soviet satire, Mr. Perkins Goes to Moscow. And you spent the war entertaining, singing to the troops all up and down the Russian front.
And what kind of songs did you sing for the Russian troops, Kira?
Well, there was one song, an American song, that the Russians loved. It was sort of sad. I wonder if you recognize it the way I sing it. Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand, and in a little while he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I shall meet him someday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news today.
I'll bet Russia misses you. Kira, that was lovely. And the expression in your face when you sang, well, you looked as pretty as a picture, didn't she, Tex?
What? Yeah.
I said that Kira looks as pretty as a picture.
Nice frame, too.
Oh, Danny, look at Tex. I only said that Kira looked as pretty as a picture, and you know what happened.
Oh, I'd put her in my living room any time.
Oh, fine. Both of them. Kira, you've bewitched both of them.
Oh, they're only fooling with you, Jinx.
Sure, Jinx, you know you're still my number one babushka, and Danny still loves his wife, too.
Mm. Yeah, I love my wife, but oh, you, Kira.
Well, I can understand it, Kira. You've got everything it takes to be beautiful, including the smile. And I have a slight suspicion that is what Danny was driving at. He just loves to talk about an Ipana smile.
An Ipana smile?
Well, in this country, it's the smile of beauty, Kira. And if you don't mind a tip, use Ipana and let it guard that beautiful smile of yours. It's really a wonderful toothpaste.
And maybe that's why dentists themselves prefer Ipana for their own personal use 2-to-1 over any other toothpaste or tooth powder, according to a nationwide survey.
So, friends, why don't you try Ipana yourself and see why it's so popular with dentists? See how Ipana can help keep the loveliness in your own smile. Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana, and then with a fingertip, gently massage the gums along the line where they meet the teeth. Now, this gum line is important because we all need firm, healthy gums, as well as bright teeth, to keep our smiles lovely. So between regular visits to the dentist, help guard your smile this special way. Get Ipana for your smile of beauty.
Kira, we're back with you again. You know, I don't suppose you talk about things like Ipana on Russian radio, do you?
No. In Russia, there is only one brand of everything and never enough of anything. So it's no need to advertise.
Well, how about things from America, Kira? Movies, for instance. Do the Russians like American movies?
Oh, yes, very much. I sang a song in several concerts from one of your American movies. You know, with Rita Hayworth.
Who?
Rita Hayworth.
Oh, Rita Hayworth.
Well, I said Rita Hayworth.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Rita Hayworth.
Well, but you see, I couldn't sing it as she did because I couldn't do the movements like Rita Hayworth. You know, in Russia, sex is not permitted on the stage.
I see what you mean, but Kira, we've made you sing an American song tonight, a sad one. How about a Russian song, a gay one? There are gay songs. I remember when we were based for a while in the Ukraine at Poltava during the war. Every night the Russians used to serenade us, and many of the songs I remember were full of fun.
Oh, yes, there's much laughter in our songs.
Well, I wish they'd give me happy songs and shows. I'm always being cast wrong. That's my trouble. Producers don't understand my type.
Miscast. And Barefoot Boy with Cheek. Now, Nancy, you were a campus communist.
That's right. Yet a samovar by name.
And what happens to you in the next show, Nancy Walker?
Well, in this next one, for George Abbott 2, I will dance ballet. I'm a rich gal like Doris Duke with dough, but no husband yet. The ballet is my love, and I am the sponsor, so I dance.
Well, you do the dancing, but maybe you need a singer. Kira, they ought to be a part for you in Nancy's new show.
Oh, do you think so? Well, but my American husband is very particular about the part I take in a play.
Why, what's the matter, Kira?
Well, you see, he says I can only be in a play where nobody kisses me.
Comrade, this is outrageous. I will organize a picket.
Nancy, I think you should be very careful about picketing men. You should do nothing to antagonize the opposite sex.
Oh, don't worry about me. I've got my campaign all figured out. I got myself a map, a man map. All the territory marked out where there are men to spare. And there's nothing around New York, I might add.
Well, Nancy, wait a minute. You said a man map? What do you mean?
Well, consider the situation in the Empire State. At New York, there are 100 men for every 93... There are 100 women, which makes it worse, for every 93 males. And that's not good.
Yes.
Whereas in the state of Nevada... Ugh, Nevada.
Yes, how about Nevada?
Well, in Nevada, there are 200 men for every 100 women. Maybe they only have 300 people out there. But The boys outnumber the girls 2-1, and that's the place for girl to meet boy. Nevada? Ooh, is that for me? Gary, you should have had a look at Nevada before you settled down.
Oh, Nancy, you must understand. We are very happy, my husband and I. And I have found a play in which everything is fine. You see, I play the part of a girl who is very sick. And in the last scene, my lover bends low and kisses me.
But Kira, how about your husband? How about his rule? You can be in a play, but no kissing.
Well, you see, in the play, I am kissed. But I die before I can return the kiss. So everything is fine. Okay.
Oh, a happy ending.
I don't like it. I still don't like it. Well, what am I doing worrying about your man? Before we leave tonight, I'd like to work on a serenade for my man. That's Kramer.
Who, me?
Jenks, you better explain.
Oh, yes, Nancy. I don't think it would be right to upset Jack Kramer this week. You see, he's really concentrating on Forest Hills, and he's training hard for the Nationals.
You take me for a fool, Jenks? I know what a man needs from a woman in time of crisis. Inspiration. Let him know you're interested in what he's doing down at the office. Serenade him with a fight song.
A fight song, Nancy?
Sure, a fight song. Something that'll make him know I'm right out there with him, rooting, singing all for him. Buckle down, Jack Kramer, buckle down. You can win, Jack Kramer, if you knuckle down. If you break their necks, if you make them wrecks, you can break their heads, so buckle down.
Make them yell, Jack Kramer, make them yell. You can win, Jack Kramer, if you make them yell. If you don't hear him, take it on the chin. You are bound to win if you will only knuckle down.
If you fight, you'll chuckle at defeat. If you fight, your loss will not retreat. Knuckle down, Jack Kramer, knuckle down. You can win that title if you knuckle down. If you mow them down, if you go to town, you can wear the crown if you will only buckle down.
Good luck, Nancy Walker, and good luck and thank you, Jack Kramer. We're really knuckling down for you.
And good luck to you on Broadway, Kira Petrovskaya.
And Nancy, let me tell you, learn a lesson from Annie Oakley. You'll never get a fella with a gun.
Not even in Nevada. And now so long until next Wednesday night when our guest will be the singing star of the hit parade of 1947, Joan Edwards.
And the greatest woman in baseball, Mrs. Lou Gehrig. A double hit parade. So long, and don't forget Ipana.
Sure, pal, I know what you say, but what does your public say? You say shaving is too uncomfortable, but your public? It says you've got to keep your face smooth and clean-shaven regardless. What's the answer? Ingram, of course. Ingram Shaving Cream. You see, that rich Ingram lather helps condition your face for the razor, and that means close shaves in cool, soothing comfort. Remember, comfort means coolness. Coolness means Ingram. I-N-G-R-A-M. Ingram, the cooler shaving cream. Next time, get Ingram.
Until next Wednesday, then, this is Dan Seymour reminding you the Tex and Jinx are brought to you by Bristol Myers, who also presents Mr. District Attorney, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.